This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
And good morning, Rutherford County. I think the rain is about ready to stop, and we're going to have a really great show on for you today. Going from my left to right, we have Mr. Jimbo Haynes on this morning. Have Charlie Farrow right in the middle, and then we have Tommy Hoard here. And I had to listen to a lot of griping before Charlie and Tommy got here because Jimbo Haynes thought that he had been left out to dry, bless his heart. But we want to let you know that this part of their show is brought to you by At Home Care, and we're all getting close to that. And when you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that Home Care is hands-on and involved in your family's care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, telephone number 713-4639. And on the internet at homecaretennessee.com. That's 713-4639 at Home Care. Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, Truman. Good morning.
You know, I had such a great phone call the other day. Mr. Ed Lowry called me, and he was on his way back from Fayetteville watching the harness races, and Jimbo was with him. And you're never going to believe this, but Jimbo was actually asking to be on the show this morning.
I believe it.
And he just pretty much nominated you two guys to come on with him. And I really appreciate everybody showing up.
We started leaving Haynes out here by himself.
Ford and I drove up over there, and we thought this would be work perfect. We'd just not show up, but we did.
You know, this has been a long time. I've been trying to get you three guys on for, it seems like, ages. I've asked every one of you, and of course, Tommy was on. In fact, you came on by yourself, Tommy.
Yeah, I was.
You didn't need any help at all.
Scared to death.
Were you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sitting. You've never been scared of anything in your
whole
life.
I was pretty scared of sitting in this microphone.
Now, you guys, two of you come from deep roots around here. Jimbo Haynes, of course, the Haynes family has been around here ever since the county was formed, and so has the Hoard family. That big farm out there off of Nashville Highway has been out there for, what, 300 years? Or
No. Back in the 40s, 1840s, somewhere back in there, yeah.
You said the 40s, then you said 1840s?
Yeah. Well, that was my great-granddaddy, like Jim, your great-granddaddy. Well, your granddaddy came up from West Tennessee, didn't it,
yeah,
Jim?
Yeah, my grandfather. Yeah. Not my great-grandfather, yeah. But my grandfather. Yeah. Got killed by a bull not too many years after he was up here.
Now, the Haynes around here, all you guys, you're intertwined somehow because there's a ton of Haynes in Rutherford County.
Yeah, but it's way back, and it, some of the latelys come from Eagleville and some from Bedford County.
Uh-huh.
And just all over. But now, my grandfather came here from West Tennessee.
Wow.
They lived down around Real Foot Lake.
Uh-huh.
And he left when all the rioting and the night riders started burning them out down there. That was back in about 1900.
Uh-huh.
And some of them wanted to start commercially fishing at Real Foot Lake and some didn't. And they put everybody against each other down there and they started rioting and burning each other out at night. And
I never heard of that.
So, anyway, my grandfather kind of he had a sawmill down there and a general store.
Uh-huh.
And was a farmer. So he got afraid that they would burn him out some night and you know, kill his family. Mm. So he called his brother G.W. Haynes up here and told him to find him a farm. This was about 1900. Mm-hmm. And so that's the farm that they moved to, and that's where he raised his family. And then my brothers and I, we were all raised out there on the same farm, which it's gone now, you know. New Nashville Highway came through it, and then the Northfield split it another way. And the old home place was right there in the Kroger shopping center, mm-hmm. Right along about where there's a new liquor store in there now, mm-hmm. And that's just about where our old house sat.
Well, progress is kind of hit a lick in both your family and the Hoard family both, because the road structures themselves had to go through somewhere, and then the growth part of it got yours, and then Tommy, yours was hit pretty hard as the interstates were starting to develop.
Well, what we call Broad Street now was built there in the late 40s, early 50s, and then 840 came through. And it's just, if you look at it, it's just kind of like looking at a pie that's been quartered. Mm-hmm. But that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Over the years, it's when they built the house we grew up in, that was the old Dixie Highway, and they were building it before the Civil War, was laying it out, and actually, I guess, well, they were building it. And so my great-granddaddy was there, but he came over there and built a house that's fronts the old Nashville Highway.
It's still out there.
It's still out there, and that two-lane old Nashville Highway was called the Dixie Highway.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And I guess it was the main drag I always heard between Chicago and Miami at that time.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. But anyway, then the four-lane came through after the war in the late 40s and early 50s.
Bubba's still out there.
Bubba's still out there.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, he's still there.
You'll never blow him out of there, will you?
That's
home.
They've been there a long time, raising their family there.
Yeah.
And he's got a son that's farming full-time with him.
Is he going to be just like Bubba?
Probably. He stays close to that farm. Yeah. Yeah, he does. He stays real close, and he lives out there, and so yeah, they'll be like Bubba, I guess, pretty much. Just stay there and farm. Yeah.
And then you got Charlie that's came in here. He and Fred came in, and I guess two of the best entrepreneurs we ever had in Rutherford County. He came in the early 50s, you were saying earlier, the middle 50s. And you guys established a business that just, there were no limits. It's just grown into one of the better business groups that's ever been in this community, Charlie.
Well, we hit, I guess you might say, hit everything just the right time. And of course, you know, I came in 55, late 55, and Fred was already here, and we were living in James K. Polk,
mm-hmm.
And Daddy was here, and because I had the great opportunity to meet Mr. Jim Haynes,
mm-hmm.
Right about then. His aunt, Miss Hazel Jatun, and Mr. Johnny run the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they introduced me to him. I mean, that was just made my day, you know, just to be able to know somebody like Jim Haynes. And then a year later or something like that, somewhere, I had the opportunity to meet Mr. Howard. And I don't know, Truman, I think I'm a little older than you, but just to be associated with people like this, you know, it just put a star in my crown. I mean, I just I don't know how to explain. I mean, they were my friends, and I don't know whether I was their friend, you know. But anyway, we I went away to the Navy, came back, and Fred, my daddy, and I, we started out and basically doing remodeling.
Mm-hmm.
And doing a few additions, and then we gradually got into some school additions, and then we eased into fire repair, and then a few other things came along.
Now, you talk about fire repair, that brings back old memories for me.
Because we had
a fire over our house over on Eventide. Yeah. And you guys came in and did the best job. The house was better after you got through with it than before the fire hit. I mean, you guys absolutely did a tremendous job.
Well, thank you. We tried to do that.
Now, when you first met Jim and Tommy, what did you think about them? I mean, they're not what you call the average guys.
I know it. I mean...
They kind of shoot from the hip a lot of it.
It's just, it's hard to, you know, describe them. They they were just, you know, the talk of the town.
Yeah, they always have been the talk of the town.
Everybody wanted to associate with them, and that's what I mean. I just to be what I thought, friends with them.
Uh-huh.
Jim finally, he let me ride with him a couple of times in his car. He had a 55 Chevrolet.
Yeah, wow. And he had a 55 Mercury.
And we, you
wait
know,
a minute, he's just getting started. He's got a 55 Mercury already.
Well, it was, you could finance them back then.
Oh,
they were pretty easy.
But anyway, I
fooled around with Jim a little while, and then, as I say, a little time went by. Of course, both of them, they're a lot older than I am.
Two years for Jim, I guess.
Their experience is what I'm talking about. They just had so much more. You know, mm-hmm. I was from South Georgia, and I wasn't 17 when I come here, and lived on a farm and raised up in a little town. The population was, I think, 1,800 to 2,000, somewhere right in there. And you knew everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody knew you, and... Then I come to a city like about 15,000 back then, I think.
Isn't that amazing? You talk 15,000 Murfreesboro.
I mean, it was unreal. And then, like I say, when I first got here, all I could hear was Jim Haynes and then Tommy Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Hoover, Jim Haynes.
Yeah, but what were you hearing?
Well, now, we had an agreement before we come on, and we weren't going to bring up anything. But then, you know, I finally met Jim, and mm-hmm. I mean, it was something. And then along come Tommy, and I met Tommy. And it's just, they're amazing people, this, both of them.
Jim, it didn't take Charlie long to start slinging the bull, did it? He just...
I knew it.
I remember the first time I ever saw Charlie in those days, go to the lake on the weekend. If somebody had a boat, always somebody had a boat to take you up there and water ski. I remember Charlie was up there, and I don't have a clue who he was with. I don't think I met him, but he was in a boat with a bunch of guys I knew. And honestly, I looked over there at that guy. He was lean and tall looking, and I thought, that's the meanest looking guy I believe I ever saw. I remember he had a big straw hat on, kind of a big brim hat. And I'd never seen him before. I wondered where he came from. Mm-hmm. But I do remember. That must have been probably in the early 60s, I guess. Probably. Somewhere.
I was back from the Navy then.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jimbo.
Let me tell you how I met Charlie Farrell. My Aunt Hazel Jeton mm-hmm. ran the cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And the restaurant at the James K. Polk Hotel. And when they came here, they stayed at the James K. Polk Hotel at the first.
Mm-hmm.
And Hazel, my aunt, called me one day, and she said, Jim said, come up to the hotel. Said, I've got a family up here. Said, they got two boys about your age. And said, I'd like for you to meet them. And said, they'd like to meet you. And said, you could maybe, you know, get to know them and introduce them around town. And I said, okay. So we went up and all of us met and talked. And anyway, from that time on, Charlie and I have always been friends. We fooled around there for several years together before we married. And in fact, Charlie built a log house, two-story log house. I think he tore it down somewhere around Deason or somewhere over in there and brought it here and put it back together. Anyway, I was out there, wasn't married, so we decided that we'd move in together. So I took the upstairs and he took the downstairs. This was before Charlie was married, too. And I don't know, we lived out there together for a couple of years, matched.
Now, where did you build the house?
It's on Lillard Road.
Lillard Road, okay. Yeah. That's back that, off
well, actually
of...
Actually, it's down in there around Riley Road, you know, right in the bottom.
Yeah.
You turn off Lillard and go down in there. It's right in the curve down there.
Well, back then, Rutherford County really wasn't a clannish county, was it? Everybody knew just about everybody. And you didn't have... I may be wrong, but during my period, you didn't really have classes that were economically better than others or whatever. You had people that had become extremely successful, but the kids, the guys and the gals, they all knew each other. Everybody seemed like was friends back then. And when Charlie came in, it's a perfect place to come in during that particular time. It really was. Now, when you were growing up in Murfreesboro, how was it when you went? Did they actually have grammar schools back then? Did they have at your age?
They probably had the most famous grammar school in the world, Critchlow.
Oh, okay. You didn't have Jack Jolly, did you?
No.
Okay.
I did not. Okay. I did not.
You had Jack on your show up here.
I did.
A couple of months ago, didn't you? That bunch from the 50s. Yeah.
Jack had a great time. And we were talking about football and some things years ago before we came on. And Jack came over to the baseball park, the NBA over at Barfield, last week. And he had just gotten out of Adam's place. And he was with his walker, and Dolly was with him, and he was pushing his way around looking. You know, Jack loves baseball, and he loves kids. I mean, just absolutely loves them. And I was telling him that Teddy Morris's grandson was playing on the same team my grandson plays on. So he wanted to see him, and he got over it, and it just tickled him to death. And he said, you know, this is the best night I've had, and I can't even remember when. And he started, I walked him back to his car, and there's a bunch of little kids in their uniforms over there with their moms and dads. And he said, and I may have said this before, he said, boys, let me tell you something. Do you know what you eat for breakfast? They said, no, sir. He said, baseball. What do you eat for lunch? Baseball. Eat for supper? Baseball. And when you go to bed at night, you thank God that you have been given the ability and the privilege to play baseball. And, you know, Jack is just something special. He really is.
You know, Jack's wife, Dolly, taught, either practiced, taught, or taught my wife, Betty, in Shelby.
Wow.
And she didn't know Jack, but she knew Dolly before she ever came over here. I remember her, she knew her by her maiden name, and I guess she was either practice teaching or teaching over there. I don't know whether she was from Shovel. But Jack told me one time that his daddy was very active in baseball.
Yes, he was.
And that before the war and maybe during the war and all, his daddy did a lot of umpiring. I think he did some umpiring in minor leagues and all. And was making a real good record for himself. And, of course, when the war came along, it changed a lot of lives, the way they were making their livings, probably had to support their family. So a lot of that changed. But I think Mr. Jolly was considered a really confident baseball umpire and did it in the pros. Maybe not on the major league level, I don't think, but was going on in that direction.
Yeah, he was a great baseball coach. He caught at the American Legion for years and had some really good ball players during that time. What was it like growing up in the 50s over here, Jimbo?
I would just have to...
I mean, what you can relate on the radio.
I would have to say it was just great. Mm-hmm. We had, back in the 50s, I've always said we had the best cars, we had the best music, mm-hmm. we had the best dances, and that was, we had fraternities in high school and sororities, and they had sorority dances, fraternity dances.
Mm-hmm.
It would last till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And, of course, I grew up on a farm, mm-hmm. and there was a difference between the farm boys and the city boys.
Well, you were right in town growing up on the farm.
Well, I'm in town now, but used to from where Pinnacle Bank is now. It used to be the Prince's Theater there.
Yes.
And it was 4 miles from the Prince's Theater to my house, which now it's probably a mile and a half at the most.
Yeah.
But I can remember as a small boy getting out of the picture show on Saturday night after watching a Western two or three times.
Yeah.
Having to walk home.
Mm-hmm.
And the last light was one block down College Street. That was old 41. Came by there.
It was
one block down. After that, it wasn't any more light. So my brother and I, after we left that, we started walking fast.
we're gonna have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Mr. Jimbo Haynes' story.
Great time for fishing here in Middle Tennessee. This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors, inviting all of y'all to come by and pick up your supplies. We've got rods and reels and line, artificial baits to get you going.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
Like you're going to Smyrna, or half a mile from Thompson Lane on the right.
This is Dr. Kelly Buckles. Having two children myself, I utilize my staff at Laser Therapy and Chiropractic Center for adjustments and massages throughout my pregnancies. I was able to continue work and felt great. We have certified prenatal therapists on staff that provide relief to expecting mothers.
Laser Therapy and Chiropractic Center at 524 North University Street.
We are excited to welcome a fellow alumni and colleague of mine, Dr. Thea Carner. Call 217-8624 today. Same-day appointments available.
If you want to get some barbecue, I tell you how to do it. Head for the Slick Pig and you're into it. Just walk through the door at 1920 East Main and your nose will send a message right to your brain.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the catfish special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw at Slick Pig Barbecue.
Wet and Wild. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. Rutherford County's had too much of a good thing, really. Beneficial rainfall covered the county Monday but caused some flooding problems. Some parking lots at MTSU closed for a time because of high water. Other areas in Murfreesboro, like Siegel Road, Highland Avenue, and Jones Boulevard, had water out over the road at times. Jefferson Pike of the county also caused problems for a time Monday afternoon. The rain heavy at times continued throughout the overnight. The payoff comes, though, with fall-like temperatures for the rest of the week. Highs in the 70s and lows in the 40s expected for the next several days. A full check of the WGNS Weather Eye forecast is just ahead. News brought to you by Dr. Mark Kester, Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad Across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro. You don't have to live with headaches caused by sinus tension or migraines. Call Dr. Mark Kester at 895-1253. He'll help set you up with a free consultation. The number of West Nile cases is up by 2 in Tennessee. Another 2 cases reported in the Memphis area, bringing the state's total to 21 on the year. Many of the cases have been concentrated in West Tennessee, but some have been reported in the mid-states. West Nile symptoms are flu-like, along with a skin rash. In severe cases of the mosquito-carried virus, paralysis, coma, vision loss, and even death have been reported. For the 7th time, a Murfreesboro man has been charged with driving on a revoked license. David Wendell McCormick was pulled over on South Church Street, but he stopped the 31-year-old because he was reportedly following the car in front of him too closely. When officers ran a criminal background check on him, it was revealed he had 2 warrants for his arrest, one for violation of probation and the second for manufacturing an illegal drug. McCormick placed under a $16,000 bond. He'll be in courts October 8th. I'm Ron Jordan. You're up to date, and this is WGNS News.
That update brought to you by Progressive Insurance, helping you save when you need it the most. Now that's Progressive. Get a quote today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. The freedom to name your own price. That is Progressive. Middle Tennessee Medical Center and the Power of Pink invite you to the Wine Around the Square Friday, September 21st. This brand new event offers live music, appetizers, an art show, and a progressive wine tasting event around Murfreesboro's historic downtown square. It's all for breast cancer screening and prevention. Buy your tickets online at mtmc.org/powerofpink. That's mtmc.org/powerofpink. Join the Power of Pink and help fight breast cancer.
Are you ready to harness the power of the internet to make your business succeed? Find out how. Attend a free online marketing seminar for local business success. Register at ybseminars.com. Yellowbook 360 is a leading provider of customized marketing tools and services, including local online search, websites, SEM, SEO, direct mail, social media tools, and more. Get what your business needs to succeed. Register at ybseminars.com. That's ybseminars.com.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Okay, Jose, Tex-Mex cuisine.
Hola amigos, this is Sergio from Okay Jose. I'm the manager. Come join us, come try us out. We would like to earn your business. We make everything fresh from scratch. Come go and join us for a good quality meal.
Here are today's specials at Okay Jose. It's Taco Tuesday, 99 cents all day.
Stop by Okay Jose on South Rutherford next to Walmart for 99 cent Taco Tuesday. Again, that's on South Rutherford next to Walmart.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
I am True Blue. Show your True Blue pride and celebrate the top overall sports program in the Sun Belt Conference 4 years in a row. Buy your season tickets now. Experience all the home games in Floyd Stadium for just $70. That's only $14 per action-packed gridiron showdown.
Show your True Blue this fall with Blue Raiders season tickets. Visit GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
Weather Eye. We have a chance for showers and a few rumbles of thunder for today. Mainly cloudy skies. Highs are going to be in the low 70s. We'll have a north-northwest wind between 10 and 15. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, it's 70.
Our good neighbor of the day today. Congratulations to Stacy Covington, receiving flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts. And our birthday cake winner, receiving the birthday cake from Junior's Foodland, is Rhonda Pope. Happy 40th birthday to Rhonda from all of your friends and family. Now we get you back to the Truman Show.
Now more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS. The Early Show with Brian Barrett is on weekday mornings 5 to 6:30 on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
You are listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now, back to Truman Jones.
And welcome back with us. And we were listening to Mr. Jimbo Haynes give us a little bit of geography about when you used to go over to the Princess and you would be walking home, I still get confused because the town has been chopped up so much and all the roads have changed so much. It's hard for us to really get oriented. It is for me anyway. Now tell me how, when you would leave the Princess and you were walking home.
Well, now this is before the Broad Street came in.
Right,
you know, it was just the old 41. And I would walk College Street, was 41 Highway.
Mm-hmm.
And you just walk from there straight down the highway to a place down there called Tuckertown.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody knows where Tuckertown is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Battleground Drive came out onto 41 Highway right there. Mm-hmm. And on the right was the Weeping Willow Tavern. There's two big willow trees and a lady there sold beer on the back porch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to go up Battleground, which it crosses Broad Street now up by Demos.
Right.
And goes on across. Follow Battleground on up to they've changed it to
That's Hamilton, Jim.
That's Hamilton now. Mm-hmm. They've changed it to Hamilton Drive. But if you get up to Sunset, that was called Potts's Corner. That was just an old, just a gravel country road.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn, turn left at Potts's Corner and go back down to what is now Battleground.
Mm-hmm.
And then up, and it crosses Northfield up on the corner of Northfield and Battleground.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our, off to the left was a drive and went back in there to our old farm, which was about 400 acres, 380 acres.
Now you were actually on the river right there, the river
our farm,
your property.
Our farm was where the Stones River Country Club is.
Mm-hmm.
My dad sold them 70 acres at first.
Mm-hmm.
And later, a few years later, they wanted another 9 holes, so he sold them another 50 acres to go with that. So that took a big chunk of the farm.
Now, was part of Riverview in that farm at that time also? I mean, of course, it wasn't Riverview at that time.
Our farm went back to Riverview Drive. That was the back border of the farm. And the front border was Battleground Drive.
So Riverview Drive has already been initiated. It's already been started.
No, it was just a fence line there.
Oh, okay.
And a fellow named, I can't think who lived on the corner. Paul Campbell, I think.
Okay.
Was his name.
That's amazing. You think about what's all over there now and all the changes. You guys were right in the middle of it. I mean, you think about, you probably thought the farm was way out at that time.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But basically, a lot of the things that we don't even think about. I mean, I remember when every road, of course, you remember better than I do, and you and Tommy, because y'all are a whole lot older than I am. But I remember just about every, there weren't any four-lane roads in Rutherford County.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them were either gravel or dirt roads.
Right.
And you think of what we look like now, it's not the same place anymore.
Yeah. my brothers and I used to slip out at night and go up to the barn and catch ponies, and we'd race where Battleground Drive is now.
Mm-hmm.
It was gravel. And we'd ride and race our ponies up and down Battleground Drive till 11 or 12 o'clock at night. We'd fall off and get skin up, and then we'd get back in the house. You know, I remember my mother would ask, well, how'd you get that arm? How'd you get your arm skin? Well, when'd you do that? And, you know, we'd fallen off the pony racing down the gravel. But one of the biggest things in my life as a boy growing up on the farm was when the maneuvers came out, when the maneuvers were here in Murfreesboro. They completely took over our whole farm.
I'm surprised you can remember that.
And they had, you know, just mess tents. They gave us sugar and cookies and gave my dad gasoline. And some of those soldiers would take my brother and I down and let us spend the night in the pup tents with them, show us their guns. And you know, I guess those soldier boys, you know, some of them thought they probably never would come back alive. And they made buddies with my brothers and I, and we just really loved the soldiers. And my dad fixed up in the milk barn, he fixed up a shower place where they could go up and shower. And in turn, they built a spring house down there by the spring, which the old spring is under Alexander Ford now. They built on top of it. But the spring still runs, and it runs underground. It runs out to a culvert there by the highway, under the highway, all the way to the river. They fixed that up to keep milk and butter and stuff in for us.
I think that maneuvers were scheduled down here because our land was so close to the land that they were going to be going to. The terrain was.
I've heard that.
But it's interesting. You can remember that. I can remember riding on a Greyhound bus when I was just a small kid. I would be the only civilian on the bus during that time, and the soldiers would pass me back and forth and all. My dad would be driving the bus more times than not. And it's funny how those particular things just bring back memories, because there was so much involved at that time when those soldiers were getting ready to go.
Yeah. I know he got to know some of the officers, and he'd let them come up in the yard at night, and they'd sit out at night, and they'd have a drink or a beer or whatever. And then he started letting some of them invite their wives and girlfriends from up north.
Wow.
Down for a weekend and spend the night upstairs. And then their girlfriends and wives would sit out with us, and they'd kind of court, you know, some, I guess some were just girlfriends, boyfriends, and some were married. But I can remember some of those ladies picking me up and setting me on their lap out there at night, talking to their boyfriends out in the front yard.
That's pretty neat.
And
I had never heard that around here that we were opening up our homes for the family members to come down.
Well, son, I guess a lot of them didn't, but my dad got to know them, and he just decided to do that. And
now, your dad, what type of business was he in at the time?
He was in the coin-operated machine business.
Oh,
from
okay.
the time I knew him, from 1932.
That's amazing. Now, did he start that here?
He started here.
In Murfreesboro?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did you think when you first met Charlie? Because when he was introduced to you, and he was a boy down in Georgia, didn't know anybody. What was your first impression of Charlie Ferris?
My first impression of Charlie, best I remember, was he's just about as country as I was. So we fit in pretty good. And Fred was a little older, and I never did pal around with Fred much. At Charlie's
Fred was working all the time.
Yeah,
he was the worker of the family.
Yeah, well, Charlie was working too. I mean, Fred was telling Charlie what to do. But anyway, at night, at night, you know, we'd get together and, you know, and hang out and date girls. We double dated and
well, where did you take the girls back then?
Usually to the drive-in. We had two drive-ins.
Oh, he means after that.
Oh, after that?
Yeah. We took them on home.
Oh, okay. Now, there's two drive-ins. There's one right off the Nashville Highway.
Yeah.
And then there's one off 231 South. Are those the two you're talking about?
Right.
Yeah. That was a pretty neat place to go back in, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. We used to get old Charlie's trunk full. And
we did that, too. We got caught. I remember Bob Mifflin and myself and I think there's two or three girls with us, and we decided we were going to save some money, so we got in the trunk. They were gunning for us. That's the only time I've ever been asked to leave a place. I mean, they actually made us leave. I couldn't believe it. I thought they'd at least take our money and not let us stay.
Right, right.
Well, Trey, when I'll tell you a trunk story. This was, I guess, it was getting along winter time, probably November, something like that. And it was one Sunday night, we wasn't doing anything, and Jim and Harry Marlin and Lynn White and myself, and we was just fooling around town. And so we come up with the idea of putting Jim in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
We went by Miss Hazel and got a bottle of ketchup. And so we put, let Jim's arm hang out of the trunk, and we put ketchup on it. And I was driving, and I went in, went on around, went by the Princess, and went on down, went down the old Nashville Highway, which is College Street, and went in there by Benford's, and it just wasn't getting no action. We circled on around, couldn't get any action. We went on over Castle, Sevier. We got a few hollering, you know, look at that, you know, that's a dead man. And we went on back. So finally, we came back, and right in there by Jennings' tire.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people knew us that we just decided we'd sit and wait. Now, of course, Jim, you got to realize, Jim's in the back. And we're sitting there waiting until we see a car that we just knew they didn't know us. So here comes I believe it was a 54 Ford. And I pulled out in front of it, and I was probably breaking the speed limit a little bit. And we took on off, went down the New Nashville Highway, Highway 41. And that car got right on our tail. And it got closer. And I got concerned about Jim. And of course, I got faster, and I got faster. And so we had some, I don't remember whether it was some sort of tools, but we all had hats on. And we kind of wanted to give the appearance that we were thugs.
Was that hard to do?
Anyway.
Oh, you mean appearance.
Anyway, Lynn and Harry, they take these handles and bring them up. Excuse me, Jim. And when they bring the handles up, people thought it was a gun. And that Ford did drop back. Well, I mean, it fell back then. Well, right along there about GE, used to be where you could cut through and go to the old highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I cut down in there when I had enough room for, you know, he was far enough behind me. Well, I cut down, we pulled down about halfway, and we jumped out and said, Jim, get out. And we got him out, and I threw an old pair of pants or whatever I had in the trunk, just happened to throw it down, we took off. When we came back, and we stopped down at Tommy's Esso.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where Bell Jewelers is
now. And so Jim, he goes in the bathroom over there to wash up and get the ketchup and all off. Well, me and Lynn was sitting there. And Harry had gotten out too. And me and Lynn was sitting there, and I was in the driver's seat. And this guy walks up. He had his right hand, I never will forget, he had like a paratrooper or something, a leather jacket on. He had his right hand in his right leather jacket pocket. And he flipped out a badge. And at first, this is a joke. And then I looked at that badge close, and it wasn't a joke. It, it was a Tennessee Highway Patrol. But I skipped over one thing. George Sharp, who was sheriff back then, his car came zooming by. And there we were sitting there, Glenn and I. And then here comes the deputy zooming by. And we looked at each other and said, well, what's happened? Where are they going? Well, then this, as we get back to the highway patrol, he flipped that badge out. And I said, oh, my gosh. And so he said, get out of the car. He never took that right hand out of his pocket. And we go back to back, and he says, open your trunk. And yes, sir. And I opened the trunk. And he looked in there, never taking that right hand out. And he reached up to pull the trunk down, and when he did, Jim, because you know, he'd left some evidence or whatever. And he, I can't call Highway Patrol. Who was it, Jim? What was his name?
Perrier.
I don't know. Anyway, okay. Later his son worked for Fred and I. But anyway, he pulls that trunk down, and when he did, he took his finger and he raked that ketchup off, and he licked that finger, and he says, okay. And so he goes in and calls and tells Sheriff Sharp, Gerald Sharp, says, call off your dogs. And he come back out, and he said, all right, you boys come in here. And about that time, Jim comes cocking around the corner, strutting like a manny, like, and he says, come
right
in.
Normal.
Come in. So he had us all there, and he says, now you fellas, he says, I see what you done. And he says, y'all want to see some blood? And he finally pulled that right hand out. And he had like, I think it was a 45. It was the biggest gun I'd seen in quite some time. And anyway, they gave us quite a chewing out. And I remember the next day, of course, it came out in the paper. I think the Tennessean.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, in the News Journal.
Yeah.
It said, it was headlines. It said, pranksters throw police in uproar and shake up citizens.
But I remember Daddy. Cause Daddy
was just another day in the park for you guys.
Yeah. Daddy, he thought it was funny to start with. And then, it was talk about it at the City Cafe. And then I assume the paper come out later or something. But from him thinking it was funny, it got to be serious business. And, of course, we never pulled that no more. But that was one of our quiet nights, so to speak.
You had to sometimes back then. They didn't have all the gadgets and everything back then when you guys were growing up. So you had to kind of make your own fun as you went along.
Yeah.
And you know, that was, you guys grew up in really, and me too, in the best of times.
We had a good one planned.
Can you imagine if you had done that today, what they had done to you?
Yeah, we'd all be. Well, but we was going to pull similar, but at the Princess Theater, when Full Church got out and all, you know, if I remember correctly, they didn't open the Francis Church was out.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it would be a crowd of people standing there waiting to get in the Francis. So we were going to, one night, have a car come along. We were going to have one person walk.
Hang on to that thought, because we're going to have to take a quick break.
Right.
Can you remember it that long?
I don't know.
We'll let you know, part of their show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. And when you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on the Ridgely Road.
We're talking with Dr. Rishi Saxena, this area's only certified physician in heart CT, about the 64-slice CT scan.
Before you go for heart catheterization because of chest pain or minor abnormality in stress test, you need to consider this non-invasive device to find out about the blockage. Or if you just have risk factor, you're not having any chest pain, you want to find out flag early so you could act on it.
No needles, no pain, it only takes minutes. Call 896-4800. Dr. Rishi Saxena.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager. Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. And our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Murfreesboro Young Professionals will host its first annual Leadership Summit on November 9th from 8:30 until 4 o'clock at the DoubleTree Hotel in Murfreesboro. This year's speakers include Alan Walker with the Dale Carnegie Training Program, Matt Chevron with Proof Building, Van Richman with Fantastic Seminars, and Dr. Katie J. Kemp with MTSU. The proceeds from this year's event will benefit the United Way of Rutherford and Cannon Counties. For more information or to register online, go to MurfreesboroYoungProfessionals.org. That's MurfreesboroYoungProfessionals.org.
Great time for fishing here in Middle Tennessee. This is Randy of Murfreesboro Outdoors inviting all of y'all to come by and pick up your supplies. We've got rods and reels and line, artificial baits.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
Like you're going to Smyrna, we're half a mile from Thompson Lane on the right.
It's the Truman Show, a look at the people and views shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
And welcome back. We want to let you know the last part of the show is brought to you by Gordon Ralston Photography. They're at 315 Hickerson Drive in Murfreesboro, and you can reach them at 396-8776. On the internet, www.gordonralstonphoto.com. And Al Gordon, who is a master craftsman, and Larry Ralston, a certified craftsman, are both hometown local guys, just like the three that we've got here. Well, maybe not like the three we've got here. But they are the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio. They specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic, yet current with a creative edge. Al was awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston, they look forward to meeting you, and they always treat you like family. Now tell me what was going on at the Princess Theater again, Charlie.
Well, we had a second night planned that we were going to, as I said, wait till the crowd was there waiting to go in the movies, and we was going to have a guy walking down the street, and I think I'm right, he was going to be on the side of the street where you cafes and... Mm-hmm. Opposite from the bank. Well, anyway, we was going to drive along there and we were going to shoot him. And of course, he'd fall out on the sidewalk. And then we was going to have another car come right along behind and grab him and pick him up and take off with him. But after we got scolded so for our first episode, we kind of let that one go by the wayside.
You know, you guys would have made good movie producers and directors. Yeah. You really would have.
Well, Jim tried the movies, you know, but he didn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did you do in the movies, Jim?
He's telling one of those Georgia lies again.
But we had some good time. We had some good time.
Did you ever dream that you would be like you are now, a successful businessman and straight lace, pillar of the community? Did you ever dream that?
I don't know if that dream's ever come true, but I remember when I came out of the service, because Fred and I was working every day and 6 days a week. And I remember saying, if I could ever get to where I could make, and some people might not believe this, but $12,000 a year. I remember thinking.
That was a lot of money back then.
It was a lot of money. And I remember thinking, if I could just get to that. Cause, because by the time I got to $12,000, which was several years later, but it just didn't buy much. Mm-hmm. And then things have just gone on and on. And it, but we have, because a lot of people, my brother was, I think Fred was without any question one of the smartest people I've ever known. He was a hard, hard working person. I remember, many times that we would go out on jobs and he would take 10, 12 people, work himself, and get those people and keep them laid out, and he'd get more work out of people than anybody I've ever known. But he was the biggest part of our success, without any question. It was a good team, but he was the biggest part. But,
you know, I wished everybody could have the life that you guys have had and the friendship that you've been able to keep all those years. That's something special, and, you know, that's what really makes life worthwhile, is having the type of friends that you guys have been to each other. It really has been something special.
Yeah.
I chose a long time ago to do my best never to work for a friend, because dollars can get in the way of so many things, and that's one thing I didn't want dollars.
Well, thanks, Charlie. You fixed my house.
Well, I was kind of, that was different situation. I did not insurance work. I didn't classify that, but that was one thing I tried to keep separate, and I think you should do that, because friendship is just a great thing.
You guys need to write a book. You need to write a book about what you guys have done, the friendships that you've had. And it would be a great story about old Murfreesboro, what I consider old Murfreesboro. And you've got such a legacy in your families and everything else. But we're going to have to go. Time's run out. Y'all want to say bye to anybody?
Not really.
I want to tell my grandsons goodbye. One of them's home from school, Elijah. He's kind of ailing.
Oh.
So I told his mama I was going to be on. So tell him goodbye, the six-year-old's in school. So, but anyway.
Horty, you going to sell autographs again?
Probably.
He sold, you know, Truman. He made pretty good money on this last deal you had him on here.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Much in demand.
He sold three is the best I can find
three.
Out. Haynes bought one. No, it's four, that's right. Haynes bought one, Ebby Miller and Myers Parson. And Bruce Hooper, he sold them all.
What did you sign?
Listen, I just said best wishes, you know. But they were much in demand. If you believe that, we got a bridge we're going to sell you. But it's great being on here. It's nice to be.
You handle being famous very well.
Yeah, I do.
No question. Yeah. No question.
How about Jim? You got any last words?
No, I'm done.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. I'm done too then.
All right.
See you guys in the morning at 9 o'clock.